This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zephyr, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
The Family Life Center, also known as FAMHSA, was established in 1949 by visionary David Murray, who recognized the need at the time for preventative and remedial services. So he set up Marriage Guidance Service. The organization has clearly added on a hang of a lot since of its responsibilities since then. And I'm pleased to have back in the studio with me Claudia Abelheim, the educational psychologist and head of youth service at FAMHSA. Claudia, thank you so much for coming back. There was so much that you said last week that left me kind of with a lot more questions. And I thought we could start off with the fact that FAMHSA started in 1949. It was seen at the time as a visionary organization to help those who were struggling. And the focus then was on family counseling. Mm. So, I think my question to you is, as human beings, we're the same human beings. As children, we're the same children. Wait. Yeah. I remember back in my day when I was at school, there were issues around drugs. There were teenage pregnancies. Mm-hmm. There was peer pressure. Mm. There were certain dictates by so-called cool kids as to what constituted at that time being cool. Mm-hmm. What has changed?
Besides for the obvious things that are new, like the internet and the social media and the cyberbullying stuff, which are brand new issues that didn't exist, even in my day. The other issues are the same. I think they're just on a different scale. So I think that they're much bigger than they used to be. Because even though we are the same people, the world is not the same. So the pressures that people are dealing with are much more than they were before. Politics, economy, the world, there's just so much going on in the world. So I think that makes the issues more.
So I'm kind of agreeing with you, and I'm kind of not, because I've just spoken to Mordechai Perlov, who at the age of 15 was sent to a slave labor camp.
Yeah.
Right. With no food and freezing cold conditions. That was our world 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. So people came out of that. They had different pressures, but they had pressures. Mm. We've had, less stress,
but different. And I don't think we can compare the way we live now to what happened in the Holocaust. I mean, that was
indescribable.
It was an abnormal time, and it was a period of time in history that should never have happened. In a standalone way, I think that a big part of what's changed now is the amount that things are spoken about. So, teenage pregnancies were maybe happening in your day, but I don't know how much it was spoken about or as much as it is today. Things like abortion. There's a story I heard about a lady who went for an abortion, and she was, her family were told that she was having an operation for an ingrown toenail, because you just would never talk about that 40 years ago. And shame, this poor woman was always terrified of getting an ingrown toenail. She thought she never would have to have
that
an operation.
The worst thing would ever happen to her.
So, that's what I think has changed a lot. I think that it's just become a lot more acceptable to have anxiety, to have depression, to have...
So it's fascinating what you're saying, because when I think back about, actually there were two cases of pregnancy that I was aware of when I was growing up, and one was in a very religious family. Okay. I think it's more of a sect religion then, and I remember they were not allowed televisions at home, and it was so strict. The environment in which she grew up was a really, they didn't celebrate birthdays. Sure. It was one of those really, really strict environments.
Yeah.
And then of all the people in the world, for it to happen to her, and she was pretty much kicked out of it, her home.
Yeah.
And maybe your argument would be if she had access to more open, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, not necessarily that it wouldn't have happened, because it's still happening, but hopefully she wouldn't have been kicked out of home, or she would have had more resources. She would have had more support. I mean, I don't know what happened to her, but that's just awful that this.
Actually, for both of them, I don't know what happened to them. One was my friend.
So it's not that. Because in actual fact, I think the numbers are higher.
That's right.
Than they were.
That's
right. So it's not that it's not happening, but it's that the support that's available is
better for when it happens.
And look, Cherise, I mean, I always joke with my friends. I say, I will never be out of a job because we live in, people are messy. The world is messy. And it, unfortunately, always will be, you know. We joke. We say we wish that we lived in a time where our work wasn't needed. It's just not possible.
So we're saying your work was always needed. Okay.
Always.
The difference is, we are more open about.
I think so. I think that we're more open about what is needed, or the fact that it is needed, that mental health services are like so important. And it makes the market a lot bigger. And I think also, I mean, particularly in South Africa, you know, Family Life Center does a lot. I mean, most of our work is done in the communities in Johannesburg. So I think particularly in our context, we have very unique problems that are now really on the table that perhaps weren't 30, 40 years ago.
So maybe now's a good time to take a break, because after the break, I want to explore South African society and the differences. We've just had a child killed at school, stabbed, at school. And the other issue that's being raised is the child was 18 years old and he was kind of, it just raises so many problems within our society.
Yeah.
And look at a comparison between that and the issues we deal with in private schools. So I think, Craig, if we can do our break here and then give us an uninterrupted chance to explore those issues.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zephyr, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Claudia Abelheim, who's the educational psychologist and head of youth services at FAMHSA. And we're kind of just trying to explore the problems that South Africans are dealing with, from mental health to, I don't know, violence to abuse. Claudia, the differences you see in private and public schools, are they facing different issues? And how do you bridge the gap?
It's so hard, Cherise. What's interesting is that a lot of the time it's the same issues. The community schools, of course, have less resources and less support than our private schools do. So, you know, just as an example, our one community office, I think it's Westbury, hold every year and every set of school holidays, they have holiday programs, which a lot of the private schools do too. The difference is that in the communities, the purpose of these holiday programs are so that the kids are not on the street and are being fed. You know, because all these kids are on feeding schemes when they're at school, and then they have 3 weeks of holidays and they don't get fed. So whereas the private schools are going on holiday programs, you know, to keep busy or to like add to their CV, you know, so a lot of the services are the same. It's just for very different reasons. And it's very sad. I mean, the work that our community officers are doing in the schools, in the communities, is frightening. So one of the issues that might be the same is teenage drinking.
Right.
So it happens. I mean, we can't deny it. And we've got kids at private school who are drinking, underage drinking. We have kids in private school who are engaging in sexual activity. And the same's happening in the community. But again, the difference is in the community, another example, we've got our social worker that works in the Dipsluit office has now started, she's working with the police, the SAPS and SANCA in this new informal settlement called Lion Park, which, I mean, it's heartbreaking. The kids are coming to school drunk and high on alcohol that they've made themselves, which they've been taught by their parents. Hmm. They've seen their parents make alcohol. They're coming to school with it. They're drinking. They're abusing the teachers. The teachers have absolutely no leg to stand on. they're engaging in sexual activity, but from a much younger age because of what they're being exposed to at home. You know, they all live in one shack sometimes, and they're seeing just stuff that no child should ever see. So it's the same kind of, you know, if you really simplify it, it's teenage drinking and sexual activity, but the scales are worlds apart. So thank goodness we have these wonderful, wonderful women that work in the communities, and they work on the ground, and they do this amazing work. A lot of them come from those specific communities, so they understand, you know, the challenges that are there, and they have amazing relationships with the other stakeholders in the community, and they do unbelievable work. And that's how we kind of, I think, bridging the gap is, or at least trying to. Sure,
because, I mean, I remember last time you said to me as well, you know, FAMSA goes into certain schools if they can afford it, and the schools who can't, oh, well, you know, it's just,
well, no, that's not at all. The schools that can't afford it, if they're in the northern suburb areas, and they approach us, which is the main head office in Parkwood, we will work out a reduced rate. And the schools in the community, they're getting the exact same. They also get all the sex ed and puberty and all the stuff I was talking about last week, and they get it all for free. So our community work is all free of charge.
I mean, it's incredible that somebody, you know, 1949, was it?
Yeah.
You know, David Murray.
70th birthday this year. It's
wow.
Crazy.
I mean, it's just incredible that, and just again, he started off with, remedial services and marriage counseling and guidance. Mm. To what extent does FAMSA do what it started out to do? And to what extent are you growing all the time?
We are both. So marriage counseling and family therapy is still a huge part of our services. Particularly, you know, in Parkwood, we have an amazing family therapy department that, you know, we work in a team and a reflective team that is very rarely done anymore. I mean, they're like five counselors that work with one family. It's amazing. A lot of couple counseling and in the communities too. They're doing marriage counseling and couple counseling all the time. But yeah, our services have grown vastly from what it started off as in 1949.
So what do you offer now? Obviously education.
So education in terms of what I spoke about last week, we offer, so what's important to understand is we have our main office in Parkwood, and then we have all, I think, 7 or 8 community offices around Joburg. And the services are the same in each office, the difference being that the community offices do it all for free. So we offer counseling from children up until whatever age. So we start with play therapy, couples counseling, family counseling. We have a very big training department where we offer different courses. Our basic counseling skills course is very popular. We do prepare and enrich, which is actually another one of my departments. We do anger management, grief, bereavement. I mean, there's a whole list of things that again get done at Parkwood. And then our community social workers go out and do so much training. They've trained nurses. They've trained staff at Barra. That, you know, they do amazing training out in the communities.
I think we have time. Sorry, just because I'm conscious of the time. And I just want to ask one kind of very quick last question. And is that, do you as a counselor despair for our future, or do you see enough good?
Cherise, that's a hard question. Listen.
You only got 13 seconds.
I have to see the good. Otherwise, I couldn't do this work. I think the minute I start to despair is the minute I would stop working in this field, because I have to believe that we and society and the world is capable of change. And that's what we work towards. That's why we do what we do.
Well, it's amazing that you do what you do.
Thank you
so much for coming in and sharing. Again, very quickly, contact details, and then I will wrap up.
So familylifecentre.co.za. All our information is on there, and the number is 011-788-4784.